This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Terps are headed to the Sweet 16. They're in San Francisco. They haven't been home for now over a week as they were in Seattle, now in San Francisco. They play Florida at 7:30. Pregame coverage 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline now and talk some Terps with the Terp legend, Walt Williams. And Walt, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So we know you. You were a guy that loved the Terps growing up. You were a big Lem Bias guy. You played at Maryland. You've been involved in the program for a long time. Since, where does that Derek Queen shot to win the game against Colorado State rank for you as a singular basketball moment?
Oh, man, it's up there. It's up there, one of the greatest of all time. That shot was huge, man, and the magnitude of it, the moment was unbelievable, and for him to come through like that, and it wasn't like the execution of the play or anything like that. It was just clear out, give our best player the ball, and take him. You know, get something good for us, and that's what he did.
What did you make of that watching in real time, Walt? The just kind of, hey, let's get him the ball at the top of the key and let him do his thing and don't get in his way part of it. And the way he spoke afterwards, and Willard saying, you know, that the kid basically demanded the ball, said, that's my, you know what I mean? I want the bleepity bleepity ball. And everybody understood in that moment that, yeah, he's the guy who should have the ball.
Well, I think if a coach is going to ask you, you know, hey, who wants the ball? In reality, all five of those guys have come through in clutch moments for us. So, you know, hey, the first one to speak up, get it. And DQ, he was the first to speak up. And, you know, what was huge about that is just the age and the confidence. And you spoke about how he talked after the game, the interview. You know, he wasn't very excited. He was just plain talking. It seemed like it was routine for him. You know, the analyst asked him about where did he get that confidence from, and he just simply said, I'm from Baltimore. Yeah. You know, it was just it wasn't animated on anything. It was just like normal conversation, and that's how he approaches the game. He's not too high, not too low. He just stay even keeled, and he focuses in on the moment, and he's ready to rise to the occasion.
Well, what about the other Baltimore guy, Julian Reese? He scored the 6 prior points, 4 of those at the free throw line. He also got that grown man offensive rebound to get to the line for the last time. Kind of a full circle moment for him, because he would have been one of the last players Terps fans would have wanted to see at the free throw line, where I think we were all confident he was going to hit those shots on Sunday.
Well, yeah, you know, he's put in a lot of work this season, and one of the biggest things that came out of that is the way that he's shooting free throws. You know, it's just been unbelievable the growth he's had in that aspect. Going to a guy, when he missed free throws now, you think to yourself, man, what's going on? You know, that's how consistent he's been this season. Not only that, he's just been a leader out there controlling the paint, defensively rebounding the ball, and just being a presence offensively, a strong presence in that paint, deterring guys from coming in there. So he's been a real presence for us on many different levels.
We're talking with Walt Williams. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Walt, we got to get to the Kevin Willard part of this situation and just your thoughts. Like, you feel like Coach is coming back? We're in a weird kind of nebulous part of this, and it's going on as they're about to play maybe their biggest game in 20 years.
Well, yeah, I think just the environment is just crazy. You know, people mostly talk about the players transferring and that and the negative connotations with that. But the reality is there's a lot of different things that's changed in this environment. You know, players transferring can go anywhere from year to year. Coaches have to recruit their own players. Coaches ask players to leave nowadays. That's a new phenomenon. And, expectations are much more, you have to get it done much more quicker because of these different avenues and where you can change the direction of your team in 1 year. So the expectations are a lot higher. So, I mean, you know, I really, this is something that's new right now. That's kind of fresh, so it's hard to speak on it, but, you know, it's just a new environment, and it's, you know, it's just something to get used to. It's difficult to get used to, you know, because it's hard to establish a foundation, a tradition with your team when there's so many moving parts.
Walt, we've been discussing a little bit some of the issues on the board, specifically other teams in the paint, other teams' ability to get offensive rebounds. It was a problem against Colorado State. It was a problem to some degree against Northwestern. It was a big problem against Michigan and Michigan State. It was a problem against Penn State, the Washington game, the Oregon game, even the Villanova game. Is it crazy for me to think that at times all three bigs on the court at the same time could be in order? Is it crazy to think that you have Geronimo and Juju defending the rim and maybe Queen, you know, defending a little bit more on the perimeter?
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perimeter?
No, I don't know if you could do that. So here's the thing. Queen is giving you so him and Reese being able to play together, that shouldn't be able to happen because neither one of them are perimeter shooters, so neither one of them stretch the floor. It's just that Queen's skill set and being able to take up space, see the floor like a point guard, handle the ball, those type of things overshadow the ability not shooting the ball from the outside. So if you add another person who's not does not shoot the ball from the outside, I think you significantly change the dynamic of how you can get it done on the offensive end. I think to settle that problem about rebounding is just simply your guards have to come in there and rebound more. Rice and Selton, especially those guys, they are good size wing players. They're strong. And so, you know, they can't leak out like they tend to do at times. They got to get in there and make sure that we rebound the ball as a team. You know, Juju and Queen, they are doing their job. They're controlling glass. So they just need a little bit more help from the wing guys before you're getting out on the break. And so you shouldn't be worried about transition as much because, you know, you have an advantage like a guy like Queen. You know, he don't have to outlet the ball. Mm-hmm. When you big man outlet the ball. Now you got three in front of you and one behind. Well, he doesn't have to outlet the ball, so he gets it and he can push it, which means there's four people in front of you. And that put a lot more pressure on the defense to match up. And then when you do a really good job of matching up, now you got to deal with Queen one-on-one in transition. So he puts a lot of pressure on you, on your defense, just naturally. So you don't have to have those wings reaching out to get out on a fast break. You're going to be able to get that regardless.
Walt, I want to follow up on that because you were a big guard that rebounded.
Yes.
Like, how hard is these guys? Let's face it, they haven't been that involved on the glass. But as you said, and I was saying earlier in the show, they need to be. How hard is it, as they've been through this season, to change that mindset on these guys and get them to be a part of the rebounding?
Well, yeah, you know, you kind of get into a rhythm in the way you do things. So it's just a matter of, I remember playing for a guy named Coach Billy Hahn.
Yeah.
And the things he would do was, if we didn't have things naturally out there that we were working on, he would just scream it out throughout the whole game. It was just unbelievable. Like, for instance, we had a tendency, he was watching film, and we had a tendency to stand up on the defensive end instead of sitting down in that pocket on a consistent basis. So you would hear throughout the whole game him screaming, stay down, on a whole defensive possession every time for some games until we naturally did that. And so, you know, I think it's just a matter of just keep reminding the guards, just get in there, and just keep reminding them if it's something that's not naturally happening.
Well, Walt, how do you see them matching up against Florida?
Hey, it's going to be a tough matchup, especially talking about the way Clayton Jr. is playing right now. I mean,
yeah.
He five for eight from the three-point line, and I promise you, every shot he took was contested. You know, it was just tough shots he was making. So he's a tough shot maker. You know, they really do a lot of their damage from the wing. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on us to be able to control perimeter, keep guys in front, not allow them to get out in transition, creating that driving kick. I think we can take advantage of them on the interior. Those guys don't score much. And so I think that Juju and Queen, they can take advantage of those guys on the interior. They're not smaller, but we're more skilled there. I think we can create easier opportunities that way. Florida's a good team, man. They defend well. They've always been a team that can score. But now, you know, their defensive presence has really been consistent over the last part of the season. So that's the biggest challenge there of what they can do defensively now, matched with how they get out on a break and how they can score offensively. So it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, at the end of the day, I believe that we have more versatility in the way that we can score. We can score inside, outside. We can score transition, half court. So it's just about defensively being consistent, finishing off possessions, and rebounding the ball and not giving up multiple possessions. You know, Colorado State, they out-rebounded us. And, you know, they got 13 offensive rebounds. But they didn't take advantage of it. They didn't have more field goal opportunities than we did. It's about the same amount. So they didn't take advantage of that. But I'm sure Florida will if we give up that amount of offensive rebounds.
He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, always great talking to you, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, brother.
Coming up next, we get back. We stick with the Terps, by the way. Bill Ripken's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. But what's going on with Kevin Willard? And there's some very interesting tweets that have come out in the last half hour. Is Kevin Willard staying? We'll give you our thoughts next here on The Fan.